American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the National Intel Report. It is the 8th day of August, 2005. And you may be asking yourself the question, why are we revisiting 9/11? Well, in my book, it's very simple. Tomorrow, we've got Dylan Avery and Phil Jahan, makers and producers of Loose Change. That's specifically on 9/11. And coming up Wednesday, we have another program on 9/11. The reason I'm doing this, ladies and gentlemen, is because 9/11 was the excuse for a lot of different actions that were taken inside this country to form our police state, to give carte blanche, unlimited power to the United States government, up until including, yeah, that's right, the ascended king, George W., sitting in the White House right now, which, by the way, he's on vacation 100 miles from me right now as I speak. Here's a man that's running roughshod over the planet. The country is falling apart, and, well, I don't have to tell you the story about George Bush, but this is most important, folks, that we have this information available and we keep this line open. And the reason is because of the dramatic changes that this country went under after 9/11. It's almost immeasurable. Now, I've got William Rodriguez, and during the break, Bill, I talked to offline. I talked to Greg Szymanski, and he said it's important that this man tells his story. So he is in the wings. Anything pertinent or a direction that he wants to go in or ask a specific question, he's going to jump in. But please continue with your story, sir.
Yes, as I was saying, give a recap to the people that didn't listen. I was actually on the basement when I heard explosions prior to the building being hit by the plane. This is a second or two, and then the impact of the plane. A person came in running, saying explosion. His skin was pulled from his armpits. There was 14 people in the office. I pushed everybody out, took them outside, put the person on the ambulance, and went back inside the building. And went straight to the south tower, which connected with the north tower through the basement. There were two people there, and I told them to get out, which they didn't even know what was happening. And then I went straight to the OCC, which is the Operation Control Center, that was actually, if you remember, after the 1993 bombing, the World Trade Center spent $136 million on security upgrades, and that was one of the things that they did, is a center there. And but I started hitting on the windows, and there was nobody there. I wanted to let them know that I had a wounded person outside. I started running back to the North Tower through the basement on the B1 level. And there I found a guy from the recycling company who was screaming. I hear screams. I hear screams. And I couldn't really hear anything because of the swooshing sound of the water sprinklers. And it was too much. So I put one on my ears right next to one of the freight elevators. And mind you that the building have 152 elevators in the whole complex. And this elevator, I could hear two people screaming, oh, we're going to get drowned. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. And I couldn't understand why. And they were screaming. And I said, how many are you there? And he said, two people. It was a painter for the Port Authority named Salvatore Giambanco and a delivery guy. And
I might add just one thing, William, and sure, for the listeners. Salvatore Giambanco, I've also talked to, and William has talked to, and has verified before he ended up in this plate, what William's going to tell you about. He talks about explosions coming from below in the same manner that William did.
All right.
So go ahead.
Everybody hold that thought. We've got to take this break. We've got a long segment coming up. Our guest today, Greg Szymanski, and we'll get into some other subjects also. You're listening right now to William Rodriguez that was on site, that lost friends and coworkers in September 11, 2001. We'll continue right after this break.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Listen, this is important. I know you can handle the truth because you're listening to RBN. How would you like to get paid for telling the truth? Yeah, I'm talking about money in your pocket for exposing the criminals in our government. The tyranny in this country has gone on for too long. As my old friend Barney would say, it's time to nip it. Nip it in the bud. Grab a pen and write down the address to my website so that you can find out what this is all about. The address is www.thelibertyclub.net/user/RBN. That's www.thelibertyclub.net/user/RBN. Do it right now before you forget about it. And put a jingle in your pocket.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
A program note here, ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow's broadcast, Phil Jahan and Dylan Avery, makers and producers of Loose Change, also centered around the lies told about 9/11, and Eric Huffschmidt will be with us Wednesday. So we're going to have 3 days back-to-back on this very important subject, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot going on in the country, and I understand that, but we are talking about the murder of 3,000 people and the subsequent conversion into a military state of America, and this cannot go. We have people that are responsible, people that were in the know, and people that should be, well, they should have been in front of the 9/11 commission. Mr. Rodriguez, you should have been in front of that 9/11 commission, but we're not.
That's right.
And I wanted to get around address what Greg said before the break, and then I want to get into Jose Sanchez's story also.
What did he say on the commercial?
Greg, go ahead and rephrase your question.
You were saying now. I didn't hear the last thing you said.
What you were asking? What we're saying here is what you were asking Bill before we went to break.
Oh, okay. Well, we were getting into the point of Salvatore Giambanco when he came across those gentlemen in the elevator, and I was wondering if William could just continue telling that story. And then not to forget to get into the aftermath of what happened to him after all these people that he talked to and experienced the same thing he did in 9/11 were systematically silenced by the press and the 9/11 Commission. And I would love to have the listeners hear that side of the story. William?
Actually, let me explain very briefly. I don't want to tell you every single detail about the story, but the guy was actually on the basement, and he heard the explosion. He saw fire. He saw this swooping wind of dust and heat that it was so bad, and he saw feet running because he went back into the elevator with the other guy and the doors closed, and through a crack he saw all these feet running around, and he knew something was wrong, and all of a sudden there's water all over, and the elevator started going down, and he got encapsulated with the other guy, I'm talking about Salvatore Giambanco, between two sub-levels, and all the waters from the sprinkler system from all the floors were going down the elevator shaft, and all of a sudden they found themselves with water up to their midsection, and that's why they were screaming that they were going to get drowned down there.
And that's when you came into play, and tell us what you did then.
I actually went in, and I said, don't worry, let me see what I can do, and I started saying, oh, my God, please help me, and I looked around, and I found a metal pipe. I took that metal pipe, put it against the door, broke the mechanism. The door opened up. It was hollow in there because the elevator was way down. I could see them screaming, the water going in.
And when you say door, are we at the top door of the elevator you're talking about now?
The elevator has one of those horizontal doors that opens up and down.
Okay.
It's not like a regular elevator.
It's like a freight elevator.
Yeah, it's a freight elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went running into the area where they have the trash compactors because I remember that the electricians always have ladders that they use to change light bulbs and things like that in the area. But they always tie them up with chains on people so people will not steal them because it was on the loading dock area and it was easy for them to mm-hmm. disappear. So I took and took it upon myself to see if I could find one. And the incredible thing is that the longest one of all of them was unchained. So I took that aluminum ladder, and I went running, dropped it inside the elevator shaft, went in, got on top of the elevator, opened the grid, got both of them out, pulled them outside, brought them outside the building, put them in an ambulance, and went back running inside the building. Again, through the basement. There I found another person from the building who was the Port Authority police officer, David Lim, that works for the K-9 unit for the World Trade Center. And he tells me, Willie, do you have the key, meaning the master key? I say, yes, follow me. Let's go to the basement. We get to the basement, and there's the fire department waiting for the freight elevator, which was a 58 car, which went all the way through the top. And I told them, don't worry, don't wait for that because it's gone. Follow me. I know the best way. And they follow me. This whole unit, ladder six, they follow me as I went up on the B staircase, which was the middle staircase, up floor by floor until we get to the third floor. On the third floor, we had to stop because the amount of people coming down was so much that it was punching everybody out on the staircases. They were like, you know, trying to maneuver with the traffic, and it was very difficult for the fire department and think about the amount of equipment that they have in their bags. So it was very hard, very difficult for them to go up. I found myself sometimes two or three flights above them, opening doors with a master key. And I tell you why, because the building was a Class A building. A Class A building meant that three doors will not open on the staircase, and one will open, and eventually, you know, you will continue like that all the way to the top. And
right.
The reason they did that, it was just to contain a fire if there was a fire. And
now, if I could ask a question, though, when you were on the bottom, in the bottom floors, you saw a tremendous amount of heat, smoke, felt you were in an area that had suffered an explosion from below. That's correct, right?
I was in an area that just had the explosion. When I opened the door to tell the fire department to follow me, I saw the elevator doors popped open from the bottom up, not from the top down. And that was just an indication that something huge happened on the basement.
Now, on your way up, when you started your flight up to save all your friends and to open up as many doors as you can and to rescue people, What was the state of the condition of those floors? Was it as badly damaged as the ones below?
No damage. There was no, some floors didn't have the sprinkler system activated. Others didn't even have smoke. Some of them have a lot of smoke. And I went up floor by floor until I got to the 27th floor, because somebody told me that they have a person on a wheelchair that was having an asthma attack. So we all get there, and I remember the whole fire department unit collapsed on the floor. There I called my mother because the phones were working on that on that floor. There was light on that floor. I continued then up by myself, and I get to the 33rd floor. On the 33rd floor, there's a lady on the floor trembling, and I stood her up. I said, what are you doing? You got to get out of here. I put her on the staircase, and there were, like, people coming down, and I told the people, you got to bring her down. And when they took her down, the reason I stopped on 33 is because I have a closet with supplies that I use for the building, and I wanted to give people dust masks. Mm-hmm. And as I'm getting the dust mask, I hear something very strange, very strong movement on the 34th floor of heavy equipment being moved around. Now, mind you, the 34th floor was an empty floor, was a construction floor. It was supposed to be totally stripped out without no walls, no electricity, nothing whatsoever, because it was a construction area. And it was supposed to be empty. You couldn't even go there through the regular elevator, because they were actually shut out with an access key. So to hear this kind of heavy equipment being moved around, and it sounded just like those garbage mm-hmm. compactors, those huge garbage compactor made of steel, the mm-hmm. steel wheels, when they scratch the floor, that's how it sounded. And I got scared. Now, think about it. I never got scared before. I've been doing opening doors and getting people out all this time. For me to have this sense of that something was wrong there, it was because, you know, I didn't feel comfortable, and I knew that nobody was supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. So I bypassed that floor, and I continued up to the 39th floor. Opening doors. When I get to the 39th floor, David Lynn comes from the other side of the staircase, and two other firemen dressed in blue pants and white. So that meant that they were like either lieutenant or captains. And we were talking about what was going to be the next move, when all of a sudden we hear another explosion. Bah! That was big. It was so bad that all of a sudden we hear pa 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 pa, and in the radio of the security guard, I hear, we lost 65, meaning that the 65th floor collapsed floor by floor in a domino effect all the way down to the sky lobby. Mm-hmm. Now I go into another desperation, and I start screaming, we got to go up. David Lynn tells me, Willie Rodriguez, Willie, you've done enough, but you don't get paid for this. Get out. And I said, no, I'm going up. And he said, listen, you're still a civilian, and you're my responsibility. Better if you give me a hand with the person on the wheelchair on the 27th floor. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna go down, and I'm going to get this guy out, but I'm coming back because I'm not giving the key to anybody. So I start running down to the 27th floor. I scream to the fire department. The guy was already put on a rescue basket. And I said, I have orders to get this guy out. So we started running down, three firemen and me, holding the rescue basket. I've been followed by two other people. As we get down, the building, it was like a scene from the Tower of Inferno, because you saw things falling all over. The walls were actually open because it was just pure sheetrock, and you could see the offices across the staircases. In one moment, I hear the fluorescent lights, these long bulbs that were on the staircases, because of the shifting of the movement of the building. You could hear pa 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 all the way in line, breaking one after the other. It was very surreal. And we get to the lobby. When I get to the lobby, I put the basket down on the floor, and the three other firemen comes running, and one of them looks at me in the face and tells me, get the ambulance ready.
All right, we got to take a break. Willie, hang on. Greg Szymanski, please hang on. I hope you heard what Willie just said. We were told that the floors collapsed in that building due to a fire that was started by the airliners that actually hit the building way far up. We weren't being told about the building collapsing, as Willie just described. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays. Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Back online with us is William Rodriguez, known to his friends as Willie, and we also have Greg Szymanski, writer for the American Free Press. Well, his articles are showing up all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. A real good investigative reporter. Glad to have him on the show today. And if you would, Willie, go ahead. We've got this short segment. We've got about 5 minutes here, and if you would, kind of wrap this up.
Very simple. After I saw the whole thing, I went outside the revolving door. The building started to collapse. There was nobody around me. The police was across the street. The only thing I saw was a fire truck. I slipped right under the fire truck, and the building started to collapse right on top. And I survived under the rubble. I was saved several hours after, and thank God that that the tires of the fire truck did not give in. But that tells you a lot, too, because this building totally dissolved because I was across the revolving door and the building collapsed right on top. So for me to survive that is just another miracle. And after I was pulled from the rubble, I became a spokesperson for the victims here in New York. And I started this organization. I went to Congress with another group to to ask that Congress created the 9/11 Commission. We fought very hard, and we got it. After we got it, we wanted to have subpoena powers given to them so they could actually legally obligate people to testify, and they didn't want it. They didn't want to accept subpoena power. So we fought very hard. They got it, but they never used it. And as you remember, the president at the beginning said, we don't need an investigation because we know who did it. And the families and the survivors, we said, no, we want to know the truth. We want to know exactly what happened to the victims and to the perpetrators. And the funny thing is that 3 days after 9/11, I saw these pictures on the newspapers of the hijackers, and I identified one of them because I used to clean on the weekends the bathrooms in the building, and this is something that I thought was confidential. I went to the FBI and I told them, listen, I saw one of the hijackers 3 months prior 9/11 looking how many bathrooms were available, public bathrooms were available in the building. And I kept quiet thinking that there was an official investigation. I testified for the 9/11 Commission behind closed doors. My testimony was not on the open, was on closed doors. And I told them this story, and they were very angry against the FBI because they said, wow, here's a proof, an eyewitness proof that one of the hijackers went inside the building. Now, you see, what I've been dealing with from that moment on has been a total manipulation of my story, because on the Latino press, because I've done it in Spanish so many times, it was never edited. But after 9/11, from that very moment on, my story has been changed or edited in terms that they take out the explosions, they take out the bomb stories, and I figure it was because, you know how it is, the media, they need to do everything in a couple of seconds, and it wasn't like that. Now, I want you to hear something that I just received today from a network here in New Jersey about an interview that they did 2 days after, and listen to what they say.
We got downstairs, and it almost looked like a bomb hit, and it was like a war zone. There was just trash and rubble everywhere and flames, and a couple of my friends said they saw body parts, and just it was devastating. But the support people were incredible. They really coordinated everything and orientated you to which way to go, and and I tell you, those are the guys that really got the glory here because of...
So they said it was about bombs and explosions on the lobby level. That's what I just got today from a network, somebody that wanted to help me of what I'm doing. I actually got involved with the reopen911.org organization because they are actually at the vanguard of the investigations of what happened on that day. Now, I'm not an expert. I'm not a person that have a degree on science and a structural degrees of how the buildings were built, but I was there, and I contest the allegations of all these supposed experts, including the NIST, the National Institute of Safety and Technology, because I told them five times to interview me to get my testimony and the people that I represent, and they did not call, not even once. I confronted them in different press conferences, and they never had an answer for me. I even have the only pictures of the staircases that I wanted to make available to them, because I took pictures on the staircases just for the purpose of showing the company that I clean certain areas.
Right.
They never even contacted me for those pictures. So that right. tells you a lot about what's going on in terms of the cover-up.
Willie, I appreciate this very much. We're not going to let this issue die, so to speak, because, as I said, it has many ramifications in our government, what the government has done in light of 9/11. And any information that you have, we'll be in touch. Any further information you have, we'll be happy to put you on air. And
please, please,
from my heart, by the way, from my heart, Willie, you're just as big a hero as any of the firefighters or the policemen that lost their lives.
Thank you so much.
And I want to congratulate you for your humanity and your caring about your fellow human beings.
Well, I want you to let the listeners know that they can contact me directly through this email. It's WTC, like World Trade Center, at reopen911.org, so they can actually become either volunteers or sign the petition so they reopen the investigation.
WTC at reopen911.org. Thank you, Willie, so much.
Thank you so much to you.
We'll be in touch. Thank you. We'll be back with Greg Szymanski right after this.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Pain medication can't heal the cause of your pain, but what if the pain is so great as to make it unbearable without it? Listen to the results of one 44-year-old man.
My name is John Frey. I have fibromyalgia and was taking 12 to 14 Ultram tablets a day just to try to stay pain-free. I also had headaches, which would incapacitate me. I also had severe allergies and was dealing with arthritis, which set in after two compression fractures. After just 3 weeks on Cocoon GH, I noticed my pain was gone, and I no longer needed to take the Ultram anymore. My headaches disappeared, and my allergies are virtually gone. My energy level has increased, and I feel better today than I have in 15 years. My graying hair has also started to darken, and a bald spot on my head has started to grow hair again. My wife got on Cocoon GH, and after only 8 days, a lower back pain that she had suffered with for 14 years has gone away permanently. She no longer takes Celebrex. Thanks for such a wonderful product.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-6833. That's 888-988-6833. 988-6833.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
We're back with Greg Szymanski. The website for Greg's articles can be found at www.arcticbeacon.com. And there are a few people out there, Greg, that have the ability to do real, hard, fast journalistic stuff. And you're one of those folks, and I'm glad that you're centering on this and as much information that you've brought forth. I just want to commend you on this. There are a lot of people working toward the end of finding out who was really culpable at 9/11, and it's people like Willie Rodriguez, folks that that were at 9/11, September 11, 2001, but the subsequent cover-up that we have seen going on since then. I mean, just horrendous. We have launched wars over it. We have turned this country, thanks to Homeland Security and Patriot Act, we have given our federal agencies broad, expansive powers that are being shared even down to the local law enforcement level. This is scary stuff, especially since it's all promulgated on a lie to begin with. And I just want to commend you for your work. I mean,
oh, thank you.
It's not a job, right? It's an adventure.
What's that?
I said it's just not a job. It's an adventure.
Yes, it is. And you learn, you know, something happens every day, and it's a building block step in this story. One of the major issues is the cover up. And one of the major issues in the cover-up is the eyewitness testimony at the World Trade Center. And why I believe this is very important and why we should revisit 9/11 and talk to people like Willie Rodriguez in depth and allow him to tell his story is for two reasons. One, President Bush, after the Downing Street memo came out, is kind of hush-hush now about the WMD as being the reason that many Americans have lost their lives and we are now in Iraq. What he's still clinging to is this fear factor of 9/11, and he referred to it in one of his major speeches at least 10 or 11 times. So if the president is referring to 9/11 and referring it in that manner, I think we have a right to refer to it all the more strongly and demand that, one, this president initiate an investigation, which we know he will never do. And two, if he doesn't, I believe, and that alone shows you the kind of man he really is. And what really is behind 9/11 is something that he doesn't want to get into, because I think it will come right back to him and come back to the people that are at the highest levels of our government.
Well,
right now.
Look, Greg, look what happened with Tony Blair. You were talking about the Downing Street memos. I mean, this was earth-shaking. This should have been. I mean, they spent 547 days continual coverage of Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
But we have something like the Downing Street memos, and I was waiting for something, not necessarily here, but something in England, and lo and behold, it happened. We have, mad bombers over there, the extremists just threatening everybody in London right now. And, of course, they're under witch hunt over there. And I look at this, and I cannot prove this as I sit here and say this. This is just a gut instinct, that the same intelligence operations that either fostered or helped the 9/11 incident here in this country are the very same people over in England right now. And you saw how fast Bush jumped on this and how fast. Yeah.
The same scenario, you know, they came up with the suspects right away, the same phony investigation afterwards, the same we know who did it story.
Shoot a guy in a subway over there, shoot him dead five times in the head, and it's, well, it's okay, we're going to have to do things like this. We regret that incident, but it's probably going to happen in the future.
I mean, you know, we're facing now, I mean, everybody, I think if you ask 9 out of 10 Americans if there's going to be another terrorist attack, everybody's just waiting for it to happen. And here's the way I view it. If we go back, why we're fighting off and trying to get at the truth of what's going to happen in the future, I don't think we should not revisit the past and start to demand that the American people look at what happened. And perhaps by doing this, by bringing people like Willie Rodriguez to the forefront, by showing the American people that this investigation is tainted, the people involved in bringing about this 9/11 incident were involved in our government at the highest levels, and we need to root out this cancer. Now, why is Willie Rodriguez important? Because here is a man who has vital eyewitness testimony that will refute the government statement, and if anything, should at least open up American eyes to say, look, him and these other people that were down there, and we're talking 15, 20, probably hundreds of people that can verify what went on in that basement if they came forward, to show that this building was brought down by a controlled demolition. Now, if it was brought down by a controlled demolition, what else are they hiding in this story? And this at least should show that a reinvestigation is needed, an investigation to get at the truth of everything that's been hidden by our government. And no longer should we believe a word they say about 9/11, and no longer allow Bush to use it in his speeches to foster these wars that are going on and killing American boys every day. And that's why Willie Rodriguez is important. That's why his voice should never be not heard. It should be heard every day until they don't want to hear it anymore, because they have silenced this man for 4 years. And let me tell you how they did it. When Willie Rodriguez was in the World Trade Center, he became a hero himself. I mean, he did some things, and he was humble when he was talking, that were incredible. He saved hundreds of lives. And for that, the White House brought him over there. They tried to wine and dine him. They made him a national hero. They even, to the extent, sent people over to him saying, Willie, you know, you should keep quiet, you know, about this because you really don't know who you're dealing with. And, you know, basically trying to bribe him to keep him quiet. Well, Willie looked every one of them in the eye, including some journalists that came up and told him this. And he said this. He said, you may think every man has a price, but I don't. And I am going to continue to tell the truth on behalf of all the people that died there, and especially the 200 friends or more I lost in that building that day. And I will never, never be bought off by you guys.
Well, don't you wish, Greg, that we had people in our respective governmental agencies with that kind of moxie, that kind of...
You know, what happened to him, after they realized he wasn't going to play ball any longer, after he started to put up a stink and got thrown out of a 9/11 commission meeting, got thrown out of a NIST meeting, after he did that, you know, there was a point in his life where he was homeless. He was blackballed in New York. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't go anywhere for a job. I mean, they were trying to make life miserable for him. Luckily, a lot of people came to his rescue, and Willie has a story that needs to be told, and that's the side of the story that people really should know, and that's the side of the story of how this manipulative government tried to use him. Use this man for their own benefit by declaring him a national hero. But when he wouldn't go along with their lies, they just let him go. It's my analogy again. What do you do when you can't use anybody? You throw him to the dogs, just like a judge that's crooked. What do? You throw him to the dogs after he's not useful to us anymore. But in this case, what they do, they take good, honorable people, and they try to use them and abuse them. When they can't use them anymore, then they try to destroy them or silence them. Well, they didn't destroy him. And they still haven't silenced him. And here's where it's at, though. 4 years later, not one major newspaper has ever told about this story. Not one major newspaper has been truly investigated all the people that heard what he heard down there. Two, when he told his story to the New York Times, on at least four occasions, they either manipulated it, changed it, or took him out. When he told his story to the two reporters that did the definitive book called 102 Minutes, the definitive story of the survivors and the tales of what happened in 9/11, Willie Rodriguez was interviewed by Kevin Flynn and Jim Dwyer of the New York Times. Two reporters are still working there extensively prior to that. When the book came out, his name was not even in the book. Any part of his story was deleted to the fact. Remember he mentioned that guy that was coming down in the wheelchair that he took down from the 27th floor, and the guy, he brought him down into the lobby. Unfortunately, the gentleman died there. However, when that story was recounted in their book, they didn't mention who brought the guy down. They knew who brought him down. They didn't want his name in that book.
Greg, it is too easy, and there are many motivations why these people do this, but it is way too easy for them to adopt the government line. Because, look, if we've got somebody that comes out, and contradictory to what the government-approved story is,
mm-hmm.
well, then you have retributions. You may have advertisers, cronies in
a certain set
that may pull their advertising, may seek to damage your news organizations. I mean, this is why I say, Greg, that we have got to create an environment in this country where it's safe for people to come out and tell their stories. And I don't care if they're federal whistleblowers. I don't care if it's people that witness federal crimes. I don't care if it's about crooked federal judges. I don't care if it's about crooked politicians. People that are treat the Constitution with so much contempt. This is what made this country so great. It was
exactly.
The greatest country on the face of the earth, and these people, in a short span of a couple of years, have dismantled the entire system.
And that's what's really interesting about this story is how things change so quickly in the last few years. I mean, it's like a different world in 3 or 4 years with these lunatics, and I call them that, not joking around. These people have a very, very different view on how the world should run than most people would. Now, here's what happens. When we get back to Willie Rodriguez, just to finish this, which I think is important, he went to the 9/11 Commission, and my feeling always about 9/11 is that there's so much going on here that sometimes you get lost. But if you can pinpoint one area and get to the truth, you know the rest of it's going to come down also. Now, he went to the 9/11 Commission, and they forced him to talk behind closed doors, or they probably wouldn't listen to him, but they had to deal with him because he knew he was very well respected in the community talking publicly about this. So they wanted to talk to him. Well, he tells the story like he tells everybody, the truth from day one. And you know what they do at the end? He left feeling perhaps they were going to deal with me. Well, when the 9/11 Commission report came out, they didn't even mention that they talked to him. When I asked the 9/11 Commission why, they just basically say, well, you know, we talked to a lot of people. We didn't have room for everything. Didn't have room for everything. This is a serious investigation of 3,000 people. I can tell you horror stories about the people I've contacted them over that they didn't interview. And one is Willie. Now, when the 9/11 Commission suppressed this story, the media then suppressed this story, and you know something, nobody in America really knows about it. However, everybody in Colombia knows about the story because this whole story was printed and was aired on a Colombian broadcast in 2002. Now tell me the media couldn't pick up on that.
Well,
now tell me what's going on. Does that sound right to you?
Well, Greg, you know, it is people, and I got the sense when I was talking to Willie. Did you get a sense of this guy's forthrightness and his honesty? That's what came across to me.
Oh, of course. He's so, you know, Willie has never changed his story from day one. Willie has had to live with the fact that he's lost so many friends, living this horror the rest of his life, knowing that he has been lied to by the government, by people that say they were going to help him and didn't. And through 4 years, all the man has wanted to do was to get an honest investigation to bring the real culprits that caused these deaths, caused these murders, to justice. He being a man that was there, that helped save a number of people, that lost, you know, people don't realize the importance of this. You wake up one morning, and you normally go up to have breakfast, and you have a bunch of friends up there. And you know they're up there dying. And you can't do anything about it.
And I you know, a lot.
Now, when you are left as a survivor, the one thing you're going to want to do is get at the truth. Now, you can either walk away and hide and live it yourself, or do what Willie's doing, and that is telling the American people, one, the government is lying, two, they won't listen to me, and three, you know something? It's going to happen again if you don't wake up.
Well, and you know, on that point, and by the way, since we had Willie up for an extended period, we're going to all the affiliates out there, we're going to skip this last break, so we're just going to run right to the end of the hour. Look, Greg, we've got a serious problem in this country. And I am always solution oriented.
Right.
You know problems. You investigate them. You see what's going on. We see what's going on. But we need to get people in a state of mind. Remember the movie Network. We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take this anymore. People should be throwing up their windows. They should be yelling this down the street, going in their cars. They should be telling their local politicians, news medias. I don't care whom. We've got enough people in this country right now. And this is the point that I'm getting to. I think a lot of people are saying that there is going to be another event like 9/11, even worse in this country. And I ask people this, that tell me this, do you believe that these people have that much? Do you think they're that confident in what they're doing? Because there's millions of people right out of the chute, the next incident that takes place in this country, that they're not going to be sitting there watching CNN to get the molded news. They're going to be on the spot asking direct questions. Positive questions right from the start. And if they do attempt to do another 9/11 issue that is greater than what happened on September 11, 2001, from that moment on, there is not going to be any room for any discussion. It's just going to be flat out either martial law, police state, call it what you will in this country. They're not going to make the mistake of leaving their bases uncovered. This whole thing stinks, Greg, from beginning to end.
And you probably put it right. That's why the Patriot Act is there right now. That's why these acts are all in place, because you know something. What's going to happen is there's going to be such chaos over in our financial quarters, in the segments of society that, you know, there's martial law is the next step. And it's a very, very scary thought when we now know that they are capable of pulling something like this off and are capable of doing it again and will do it again.
You know,
and all the signs are that, you know, it's not too far off.
No, and it's not. And I saw what happened right after September 11th. And I saw George Bush roll out with his worldwide promise, his 100-year war on terrorism. And I have yet to hear anybody out of the White House or anybody else, I don't care if it's Rumsfeld, I don't care if it's Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, anything. I have yet to hear any one of these characters say, maybe we should examine our foreign policy that would invite, sticking with their story now, that would invite the retribution. People would be so mad that they'd murder citizens outright. Even Osama bin Laden has said that my target is not innocent civilians inside the United States. He's made that statement already, but yet now we see his number two man being rolled out. But as I saw in the news the other day when his statement was read, at least Pat Buchanan said, I agree with everything the man just said. He said, Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it about oil? Is it about the control? Is it for the Israelis? I mean, he nailed it. And they just looked at him and went on to the next subject.
Of course. I mean, you know, one of the biggest problems in our government right now, the people controlling the government right now, is that they have a misguided view of protecting America's foreign policy, because in a sense they're protecting the Israeli foreign policy before our own.
That's right.
And they're getting the two countries confused. And once you say something like that, and you say it in those terms, you know, it shouldn't be something outlandish where I should be called an anti-Semitic for saying that, or I have anything against the Jews or Israel. I don't. But I'm just putting, you know, calling it what it is. And it's a misguided foreign policy. And basically, we have a one-handed foreign policy that have upset billions of Muslims. And that is not a way to, you know, influence friends and win, you know, relationships overseas when you start isolating these people and basically not only isolating them, but insulting them in any way possible.
Well, the biggest insult is to say that you're going to democratize. You're going to free people and you're going to give them democracy, which means that you are going to basically destroy their culture. These people don't want MTV. They don't want pornography on their street corners. They don't want a lot of things, and that is what's being pushed by America.
And so, I always say to Americans would believe the same thing that you're saying. We're, you know, how would Americans, ask your neighbor, how would you like it if another country came in here and told us how to live, you know, and they had the ideal system of government and the ideal system, and it was completely different than ours, but they say it's ideal and we should live that way. How would you feel? Well, basically, you're going to tell them to go to hell. And that's what they're doing. They're saying, look, leave us alone. And when did America begin by spreading, you know, all of a sudden want to, you know, democratize every country, when in fact we do just the opposite? You know, when democracies start up in third world, in Guatemala and other places, we rip them apart.
That's right.
So that we can benefit from that. So basically, we're lying to the American people. Our foreign policy is so skewed, so ridiculous. For example, you know something? Go back to 1953 and 1954 in Guatemala. We took out that country, that democratic leader, the same way we're trying to take out Cesar Chavez in Venezuela now. Now, Cesar Chavez in the mainstream media, if you read the mainstream media, he's basically considered a bad guy. But if you look at Cesar Chavez, he's not. He's basically elected democratically in his country. He's standing up for his people. He's saying, look, we're the fourth largest oil importer to America. We want to be treated fairly. We're going to use our money to benefit our people and our country, and all we want is fair contracts. Well, what America's trying to do is to go in there and, again, burden the country with heavy debt, take over their you know, natural resources, pay them little for their oil, and when he doesn't want to play ball, basically he's on Bush's hit list now. They want to kill him.
He's a bad
guy,
yeah. So
he has to come out publicly and say, look, America's trying to kill me. This is what's going on. I will not step foot in your country, America. He's talking to the American people, until you liberate yourself from these dictators that are running your country.
And it couldn't be a truer statement. I remember, and I've mentioned this to the audience before, I can remember one of the last film clips before supposedly Saddam went on the lam and went into his hidey hole. He was sitting there in an interview, and he was petting his white Persian cat, and he simply said, I have been set up.
Yeah.
And those words stuck in my head, and he was. I mean, look, I'm not a big fan of Saddam Hussein, but it's still, I'll come back to the point. If we're battling the evil al-Qaeda that seems to have developed this worldwide, intricate, very effective network of ongoing terrorism, I would much rather keep the enemy of my enemy in my camp rather than making that guy the bad guy.
Exactly.
It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, look, during World War II. We knew who Joe Stalin was. We knew he was the head of the largest communist country on the face of the planet. But we were right in there with Uncle Joe to go after the bad Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, none of this makes any sense. Look, Greg, I wanted to get around, and we're running out of time here. I wanted to get around to the former Air Force and commercial pilot, Russ Wittenberg.
Oh, yeah.
And also the gentleman that, well, him and his partner came across three of the four black boxes that they said
were
destroyed.
Oh, that's a great story, yeah.
Yeah, tell the folks, let's just finish out the program with the black box story.
Well, you know, this was months ago, and I ran across an interesting story that two firemen supposedly cleaning up at the World Trade Center had run across these black boxes, and actually they're orange. And they are the flight data recorders, and there's two on each airplane, so there should have been four of them. They say they've uncovered three of them there and actually had one or two, I believe, and then the story goes back months, so if I'm wrong on the numbers, don't hold it against me. But they found at least one of the black boxes. I'll state that to be safe. While they were cleaning up at the World Trade Center in one of their ATVs. Now, the two gentlemen, Mr. DeMazzi and a guy by the name of Mike Belloni, and that's spelled B-E-L-L-O-N-E, found the box, and basically, at that point, it got word spread at the site, at Ground Zero, and they were confronted very quickly by several FBI agents who confiscated the box.
And what did these FBI guys tell these gentlemen?
Oh, he said, look, you know, we need to take this. This is vital information for the investigation, and thank you for finding it, blah, blah, blah. Right.
But they also said you better keep your mouth shut about
this came
found.
Afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this came afterwards, and directly from Mike Belloni's, directly from him to me over the telephone, Mike said that afterwards he was basically told, you know, he was confronted and told to shut up. And never say anything about finding this stuff. Well, he looked them in the eyes and said, look, you give me a good reason to keep quiet. And they couldn't. So he said, you know, I'm telling the truth. So him and his buddy wrote a small little book that hasn't had much publication regarding this incident. Well, what he found out since then, he told me, is that the black box, well, it's on record. They say they've never found them at the World Trade Center. The 9/11 Commission says they've never been found. Mike Belloni and Phil DeMazzi says they have been, and they were the ones that found them, and they were taken by the FBI. And these are two firemen that have no reason to lie, explained exactly what they look like. And basically the story died there. The FBI refuses to talk about it. You can't get any farther there. The 9/11 Commission won't even... I asked them, I said, don't you believe that this is important that you talk to these two gentlemen? You know, they have vital information they found. And wouldn't you want to know if it's being held by the FBI? Well, you know something? I think we, you know, and I never could get a straight answer out of them. They never did interview them, according to Belloni and DeMazzi. They never even wanted to be interviewed. They wanted to be interviewed, but the 9/11 Commission never did talk to these gentlemen.
And DeMazzi had a lot of friends that had died in the World Trade Center.
Yeah, and he basically did not want to speak much about this anymore, and he's kind of he didn't want to go public anymore about it, but Belloni did at the time. That was months ago. So basically what you have here is a cover-up of even the black boxes that could have revealed really what went on in these airplanes, okay? Yeah. And if, in fact, they were even commercial planes, I mean. So basically... That's very suspicious.
Well, I'll tell you what, Greg, we are flat out of time. Let me remind folks where they can go to get the bulk of your articles. They can go to arcticbeacon.com, click on articles, and it'll take you to a lot of the archived articles that Greg Szymanski has done. And, Greg, my hat's off to you. I don't know what's powering your Energizer Bunny here, but it's probably the same thing that's doing mine. I want my country back.
Exactly.
I want it back. I want honest people in government once again. And
yeah, well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the time.
Well, and it's been a fast 2 hours. We weren't able to take any calls, but I think we got a lot of information out. Again, thank you, Greg Szymanski.
And thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with Dylan Avery and Phil Jahan, producers of Loose Change. Be there tomorrow.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.